24, and this is our pre-CES podcast. We, of course, are brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkingpeters.org/Amazon. Buy some stuff. It helps us out. Helps us put our podcast on. Helps the site keep going. You know the drill. Just all you got to do is follow our link. Cost you nothing. With me today is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? It's Friday.
Of course, it is.
Yeah, we're doing this podcast. We typically been doing Sunday, right?
Sunday, right. Monday, yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing a little early because we leave. It's pre-CES,
yeah.
It's pre-CES. We leave Sunday
early
morning.
Sunday.
Yeah, we both have early flights Sunday morning to get into Vegas for, of course, the Consumer Electronics Show. If you don't know what that is basically, it's the biggest computer/electronics show in North America. We go to it every year. If you've been following the site for a while, you know about our coverage. We go there and cover the show. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun at the same time. So pretty excited for all that. Yes.
Definitely.
Yes. So let's just jump into reviews, and we'll talk about CES stuff at the end of the podcast. How about that?
Sounds good.
So we will start off with the Giel Super Loose RGB Sync DDR4 3000 32 gigabyte memory kit, and this is of course a RGB DDR4 kit. The second one that I've taken a look at, I did the G-Scale Trident ZRGB, and this is the second kit. So first off, let's talk about how these look. Of course, if you're buying an RGB kit, that's what you're concerned about, I think.
Definitely.
So each one of these modules has a light bar at the top, and it's an RGB light bar. And if you have an Asus motherboard with Aura Sync, you're able to control it, meaning that you can change the colors, you can set different effects, you can do all of that. Now, if you don't, you are kind of stuck with this rainbow wave, which I think looks good, which I think is the best effect anyways. But for those people who want to customize, you don't get that unless you have the Asus Aura Sync.
So you have absolutely no control outside of Aura Sync.
Correct.
That's kind of a bummer.
Yes. Now, when the G-Scale kits were released, they were the exact same way until G-Scale released their own software later.
Okay.
When I reviewed it, that software was out, so, you know, but, I don't like the idea of getting something that I can't control. You know what I mean? If I'm doing a build, I'm limited to Asus motherboards. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, we don't. We're PC builders. We don't like to be limited. We don't like to be shoeboxed, and we definitely don't want to buy something that's lighted that is stuck on one setting and has no ability to be changed.
Correct. That's the only thing with this kit. It is a great kit. As moving on to looks wise too, as far as just the modules, it's a black heat spreader, black PCB. But the one thing I don't like, and I talked about it when I reviewed the normal super loose memory, is that the actual Giel logo, or the logo that they use, is a sticker.
And it looks horrible.
Yeah, it's just kind of tacky to me. You know,
not
I'm
only
used
that
to
sticker, but it's got a giant barcode sticker. It's got a Ryzen sticker.
The
it's
barcodes
got an Aura
on
sticker.
Yeah, the barcodes on the back, which you that's on most kits these days.
Yeah, but it really stands out.
Yeah, but so. And then you have a Ryzen sticker and an Aura Sync sticker. It's just, get rid of the stickers.
It takes an otherwise pretty awesome looking kit and memory spreader setup and kind of makes it look super tacky.
Yeah, and it's just too, I mean, the heat spreaders are pretty plain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're used to seeing some, like the Trident ZRGB, those look amazing.
See, sometimes I think their stuff looks a little over the top.
As far as
design, this allows it to blend more with a build. It provides more of a blank canvas. It's not gonna be like, it's not gonna stand out, and it's not gonna dictate the way that the theme of the build looks. I feel like it's a good design without being over the top.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that it just the stickers kill it though.
Yeah, I think that if you bought this kit and you were doing a themed build or just you know you were modding, you'd probably end up taking those off.
Yeah.
Which probably voids the warranty, I would guess.
I don't think taking the Aura Sync and Ryzen sticker off would void the warranty.
Well, I'd also have to go for the Giel sticker as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but
Maybe not, but yeah.
But besides that, this is actually our fastest performing DDR4 kit ever.
Not just for AMD, just ever?
Yeah, out of all of them.
That's a surprise.
Very, very fast. Just, you know, performs really, really well in all of our tests. We were even able to overclock the memory, which is not as easy to do on Ryzen systems, put it that way.
Memory in general had issues on Ryzen systems.
Yeah. So, was able to bring it up to, you know, 200 megahertz, which isn't a ton, but it's still better than nothing, I would say.
Yeah, because in the past week, you basically couldn't touch them.
You basically couldn't touch them. So that's with a slight voltage bump, but same timings, which is okay. Good.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, so just it's just a good all-around kit. I think that if you are a Ryzen user, this is a kit to definitely look at. Not only with performance, but the kit does look good. We have pictures in the review. I mean, the kit looks really good.
Gil was one of the first to do lighted heat spreaders, weren't they?
Yes. So
they kind of have a good... They've got that part down.
Yes. I think... Hopefully, in the future, we'll see software from them. That's the only thing that really holds this kit back, I think, is the it just doesn't have their own software. So, again, if you want to do any customizing yourself, you have to...
Yeah, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, like I said, you have to have that Asus motherboard.
Which the kit actually does match pretty well, and it is probably one of the boards that you'd want.
Yes.
You just don't want to be stuck with that choice.
Yeah. It just limits your possibility. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As a builder, you want to be able to choose whatever board you want and not be limited. You know what I mean?
Yep, definitely. It is nice with this kit, though, that, you know, even with those constraints, you don't have any wiring or anything hanging off. All your controls come in straight through the board. So
that's like, nice. Like you said, Giel was one of the first to do lighted memory, and they were one of the first to do RGB memory, and one of their first RGB kits was one of the ones you had to connect with wires and stuff. Yeah. And now we have these new ones where it's completely no wires, no wire mask, nothing, just, you know, right there. So it's, it's, like I said, it's a nice kit. Just, again, you're limited. If you do have an Asus board already, you're good to go. But if you don't, you might want to look at another kit that actually offers its own software.
Yeah. So you looked at a 16 gigabyte kit. I think it says it's 219. How does that compare with other kits that are out there in RGB?
They're right around the same price.
Okay.
Very, very close.
So competitive.
Yeah, very competitive. I think the Trident Z RGBs are a little bit more expensive, but not by much, you know.
Okay.
All kind of in the same category, so... Yeah, so like I said, definitely check out that review. Had a lot of fun testing these out, and they just look awesome. So
nice.
Yes. And then we'll move on to a very interesting case. And the reason I say that is because, one, it's kind of a big deal for NZXT because we haven't seen a new case line from them in a while. I don't even know what the last big case release from NZXT was. I don't know if you can tell me because I don't remember at all.
I want to say it's the case that I've actually got, but that's very similar to this. Oh, and I don't remember the name of it. That's why I'm not saying it.
Yeah.
I think it came out. I think last. No, they didn't launch a case at CES last year.
No, they did not. Because so, that the one the curve
Manta
case
came out the year before. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe it was like the old H 440.
I just want to say that they did the
S340
updated with tempered glass.
Yeah, and they did the S340, but that was more price conscious.
Let me see. Which is odd for them too, because NZXT for a while was just pumping out cases,
and they were good cases too.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the new H series. Which is what I reviewed, and then I did the H700i. So they have the H700i, H400i, H200i, basically ATX, micro ATX, and mini ITX. And the big thing with these cases is they basically have combined everything into a case with all their smart devices and just all of the best features for their cases into this new case. So this is like, this is going to be their case moving forward. And it,
quick question before you go further. This is a full tower or a mid tower?
It is technically a mid tower.
Is it large?
It fits up to extended ATX, but it only has 7 expansion slots, which technically makes it a mid power.
Okay. My memory of them is really it's the Phantom. It's large full tower cases, you know, and they kind of have moved away from that in recent times. So I'm kind of curious if they've got a real full tower option.
This is not a real full tower option. This will again fit in extended ATX. But it's not
pretty full after that though.
That and again, if you're trying to do like a workstation, you're not going to get that extra PCI Express slot that you'll need if you're going to fully populate it.
Okay.
So
it's decent size, but it's not huge.
Yeah. So the case itself is you're used to seeing the kind of boxy, sleek boxy, I would say, type design from NCXA.
Very modern.
Yeah, very modern, very nice, which I like.
I like it a lot too.
And the interesting thing that they did with this, which we did see in the Be Quiet,
their new flagship full tower.
I think it's the Dark Base Pro.
Yeah.
900, which I just recently reviewed. They did the same design here, is that in order to achieve that sleek front, no fans, no, just all white front and all white top, what they've done is put the ventilation holes all around the front and the top on the side of the case rather than, you know, having that.
Which we've kind of seen them going to rather than having holes. They also, with the S340, they did like the front intake where it kind of pulled down through the top into like a kind of a channel in the front.
Yes, yes. So this
goes strictly with the side pole.
Yeah, so
side and top pole.
Yeah, and this is kind of an evolution of that whole thing.
Right.
And I would say that it works. It's not the best, I would say. This is not marketed as a high airflow case by any means.
No.
But it does a job, and it still gets you that air coming in your system, which is good.
Cool.
Tempered glass side panel, of course. That's a must.
Yep.
Lots of room inside. I believe you can do 7 hard drives, 5 SSD mounts, 3 or 4 included fans, 3 120s and a 140. So 3 120 intake and a 140 exhaust.
That's pretty good.
And these are the AER, they're high airflow fans, I believe. And what's interesting about these fans is that they're connected to what they call a smart device or smart module. And this module is basically a combination of their RGB controller and their fan controller in one, because this case also comes with 2 RGB strips. So with that, basically, you're familiar with NZXT Cam. I know a lot of people are. So when you build your system, everything's all pre-connected. The only thing that you have to connect is the second RGB strip. They give you the ability to put it wherever you want. And you know, install Windows, install Cam, and now you have full control over your fans as well as the RGB strips, which I like. So this is bringing together all of their different products into one. And with Cam, you can control those products, which is nice. So you have full control over the fans and the RGB strips to do whatever you want, which I like.
Definitely.
You know, I think a lot of people now, when they're building a system, one, they're beginning fans, and two, they're going to be getting some type of lighting, whatever that may be. So this kind of solves that problem. Now, the issue that I did have, and I know a lot of people have had, is this new smart device has this what's it called? It's adaptive noise reduction built in. It's basically like fan calibration. We've seen it with a lot of motherboards. The big thing is that in order to get it to work, it's so hard to actually calibrate your fans. That's kind of the thing, is that when you're trying to calibrate, you have to have your system within, you know, on idle, your CPU load has to be between 0% and 10%. And when, you know, when Windows is running, that jumps up and down depending on what you have going on. And then for load, for load, it has to be between, I think, 80 and 100%. And again, that's hard with certain systems as well. I'm reading a ton of reviews because I was like, why can't I get this thing to calibrate? Everybody had the same problem.
Too sensitive, not smart enough?
It's not smart, and it's just you can't calibrate the fans. Like, one, it's supposed to take 1 hour to calibrate the fans, which seems – that's just the normal. And I was here for almost 3 hours trying to get it to calibrate, and it always would either freeze or error out on me and saying it couldn't get to that specific point that it needed. And that's just annoying to me. I'm a new builder. I'm done with my build. I want to power up. I want a game, and I'm waiting for this thing to get done. I just don't like that.
Yeah, and in hours seems excessive.
Yeah, I know. Most of these fan calibration, like the, you know, for your motherboard via Asus or Aorus or Gigabyte, they take about like 10 minutes to calibrate your fans. Yeah. Not long at all. So I don't know what this whole hour is. And then, you know, basically from my understanding, this smart calibration is just creating another fan curve. That's all it's doing. And I think that most people either are going to create their own fan curve if they really want to.
Yeah.
And you can do that within NZXT Cam itself anyways. Cam
gives you plenty of power to do that. I think that it might be trying to fill the gap where the user doesn't really know what they're doing with fan curves. They don't know what the system requires. They wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
So this could be useful for that. But it sounds like the device itself is beyond your entry-level user as well, just because of the complications of getting it set up. I can see somebody just quitting.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that's what I wanted to do. I was so frustrated. I mean, because when you calibrate something, you hit calibrate and you walk away, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then I wait, you know, half an hour, and I come back, and it's errored out on me. So now I have to figure out why. And then I do it again. There's another half an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that was just incredibly annoying to me. And I would hope in the future it's rectified somehow.
It sounds like a good idea to me, right? And I think that they could do it, but I think they're approaching it maybe wrong. I think if you want to call it smart, you want this thing to just, maybe within CAM you have a calibration program that you run, and it's just a benchmark suite, and you know, you run it, it sees what temperatures your system gets to, it measures them, it creates curves for it, and
yeah,
that's about all it should need.
This is way more in depth than that, which is good, but if it doesn't work, it's not good. And this doesn't work.
Yeah.
And one thing that was kind of upsetting to me is that NZXT Cam is free software. You can download it for free.
Yeah.
You can use pretty much all of the features, but this adaptive noise reduction feature, you need to have an NZXT account. I don't know why. The rest of the software works fine in, you know, what they call guest mode, but this, you need an account. And for some people, that's just annoying. And I know people are like security freaks. They don't want to create another account. Yeah. If I buy a product, meaning the case, that has this feature, I shouldn't have to sign up for something to use that feature.
I can see that. I can also kind of see it from their side, where there's thousands of products where if you want to use a feature, you have to sign up.
True, true. It's just, so, you know.
They're not the only ones doing this.
No, not at all.
I just think that I imagine what that making you sign up, they're just trying to grab more data.
Oh yeah, for sure, because they do have their new BLD or build which basically I can't remember because we covered this maybe like 2 months ago.
It's the system builder, right?
It's the system building, but they guarantee frame rates and stuff based on the information that's coming is from CAM.
They're probably trying to gather all the thermals and stuff so that they can integrate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is smart. I mean, that's the future, right? Is data collection. But and then applying that, it just seems like they failed on the development of this. So CAM originally was not a very sleek piece of software, if you remember.
Oh yeah.
It was a huge piece of junk. But now it's probably the best system monitoring and configuration software
available. And
so I'd say that they can get there with this.
And what's good about it is that you don't need any NZXT hardware to use it.
No.
Yeah. It will monitor all your stuff fine.
And it's good enough that I could actually recommend using it.
Yeah. So I think the big thing with this, well, we'll talk about too, is like installation and all that. Installation's fine. We know NZXT is like, I've always thought of them as like for build, like, you know, made by builders for builders. Yeah. This case is incredibly easy to build in. There are channels in the back to route all of your cables. The only thing with
I really like that loop channel.
Yeah.
Was it a pain?
It's just when you wanted the everything to go in the channels, it just takes a longer time. If they just had, you know, one channel or two, you know, with like, I would have just rather had a bunch of tie down points for zip ties. You know what I mean?
I guess I see what you're saying, but man, like proper flow, it needs to follow those lines, and they're trying to force people to do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So. I get it. But on the other hand, though, and it's really hard to plan for, is the fact that a lot of no PC component is like the same. Well, that's not true. They're not. They vary greatly, right? So your wiring is going to vary greatly from another PC. So
yeah, so it's
difficult to just match it up.
Once you're done with it, it's fine. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like I said, the case, it's so easy to build in. NZXT has always been great at that. And one thing I really like too is the back side panel, so the rear side panel, it doesn't have any screws or anything like that on it. It just pops off with the press of a button on the back of the case, which I like.
Nice. They keep getting better and better with releases and stuff.
Yeah, so it's you know, basically, like I said, NZXT has combined everything that they're good at into this case, and I really do like it. I like it. I would have honestly preferred it not have that smart thing built into cam. And you know, again, it combines your RGB strips. You get two RGB strips, you get four fans, all of which are, everything's all pre-connected. You don't have to connect anything. And you get a great case that's easy to build in, that supports longest graphics cards, full-size power supply, tons of storage, you know, everything.
Oh, you didn't mention dual 360 rads.
Yeah, dual 360 rads. So you can do 360 in the top and 360 in the front.
Looks like there's plenty of space for it, too.
Yeah, it's just it's a great case. Like I said, the only downfall is that I would have liked that to work and actually be able to fully test it. I couldn't get it.
It shouldn't waste your time. That's what
yeah.
You know, I want to say, looking at the photos, that I would honestly like to see a larger version of this case. Because yeah. As big as it is, if when you get into the water cooling, and I've found this in the smaller cases, like the S340, is that it becomes a major headache to make things look good.
Now, here's what I would ask your question, or ask you about. This case is $200, $199.99.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, two RGB strips.
Yeah.
Four fans. And a digital controller for those fans. Do you think the price is justified?
Is it steel?
Yes.
And then plastic on the outside?
Yes. Or no, I think those are actually steel panels, the top and the front.
Oh, okay. Single tempered glass panel, RGB strips. That's all nice. The fans aren't RGB, though. Correct. Are they, because in the past, NZXT case fans have not been, what would you call them, like, released to, like, sell the market fans? Do you know what I'm saying?
These ones are sold.
Okay, so these are the actual fans, okay.
Yeah.
Because the ones in my S340 are... they're junk now after like a year of use.
Yeah, so these, I'm only finding the RGB ones. Let me find if I can.
They look different, I can say that. So I would guess that they're better. It's an improved version.
Let's see here. The Air, they sell for $16.99, $17.99. Okay.
So it's still a cheaper fan for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think that a lot of that price is based on the smart controller. A lot of it is probably recouping the development cost for that. And since it doesn't work, and even if it does work, it sounds like it's an insane headache.
Yeah.
I think that 200 is probably too high. That's higher than your typical. Have we even seen a $200 NZXT case?
Maybe that, I don't know how much that, the Razer Edition one was more expensive.
Well, that's kind of different though.
Yeah.
It's custom paint. I think even back in the day, What was the case after the Phantom? The Switch? Yeah, the NZX.
I don't remember. Yeah,
it was the Switch. I don't even think that was. And that was a full tower, like, top of the line case at the time. I want to say this should be around the 175 mark.
Yeah, I would think, because here's the thing too, is that, you know, yeah, you're getting these fans and yeah, you're getting the RGB strips, right? But like, because you're buying it all together, I think that you should receive somewhat of a discount. Maybe you are. I haven't priced everything out if you were to buy it separately, because each one of these, you know, the RGB strips and they have their, you would need your own controller for that, and the fans, you would need your own controller for that. But this one is kind of built together.
Yeah, but even with say Fantex, for example, you get an RGB controller with that. Does this sync with the motherboard?
It can.
Okay. You can. So I guess that's a step. That's a step better.
Yes. But
I don't see 200 though. I can see 175.
I think it will go on sale for 179 eventually. Yeah. But that brings to another question is, I would love to see this case without any of the smart features and like put some crappier fans in here and just have an H700. You know what I mean?
That would be a
or without
case.
The controller, still maybe include
nice fans, but
maybe include two fans in the front, one in the rear instead of three in the front. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just have an H700 that's less expensive. Then if I want to get RGB strips in the future, I can. If I want to get a fan controller, I can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then drop the price down below 150 even.
Yeah.
For that. I would just really like to see an H900.
All these maybe they'll surprise us at CES. We never know.
Maybe. I'd hope. It's just that these cases are very modern, and they're great, and I like them, but it's just, it doesn't offer that full water cooling support.
Yeah, and I think
there's still a market for it.
I think the big thing with cases, getting cases that large, is that tempered glass side panel.
Yeah.
That I think that's an issue with the bigger cases.
Becomes a huge cost to get a panel that large.
Yeah. So,
that's where you have your 200 plus. I mean, that case could sell for 225.
Or more. I would think it would be, if they made an H900. This one's 200. That'd probably be close to 400.
Oh, that'd be excessive. It'd have to be aluminum.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think I do like it.
There's future here. There's promise. There's definitely promise.
And I do like that they're combining all of their products kind of into one, which is nice. You know, and the case looks amazing. Like I love the way this thing looks.
Yeah.
So. We'll have to see down the line if they release a normal version or like you said, the H900i. Hopefully we'll see that. So that brings us to, since we are going to be traveling, decided I would do an article and video going over the things that I travel with when it comes to tech. I think that, you know, so many times I get asked on Twitter, What do you travel with, like, when you're, you know, what's your gear, what's in your gear bag, all that kind of stuff. And I kind of put together a nice little list of everything that kind of goes in my travel bag, for the most part. You know, everything that I travel with. I'm not going to go over everything. I would appreciate if you guys check out the video, which I spent a lot of time on. But I did get a new bag just for this article. And I've used ECBC products in the past. I actually have one of their carry-ons, which I'll also be using, but they make bags. And the best thing about these bags is, one, they're made for electronics. Like, they're not just a backpack, you know what I mean?
Right.
And two is that they have this fast pass system, which means you don't have to take your laptop out of the bag when you go through TSA.
Yeah, I was wondering that because I have a bag with that as well, and I was actually just curious. You just unzip it and then leave it how it is?
Yeah, you just unzip it and then just throw it through.
Throw it in the bag.
Yeah. That's just the way it works, and it, like I said, just saves you that extra time. And like I've actually had somebody, like a TSA agent, like, you know, when you're done going through, they pick up my laptop and they've dropped it. So it's just good to not have to worry about that. And just, you know, when you get there, you don't have to be like, how many bins do I need, you know? You just unzip the bag and put it through.
Nice.
Super simple. So, and the new laptop that I'm using as a travel laptop is the Lenovo Yoga 920. This thing is awesome. Has an sweet aluminum design. Has one of the coolest hinge designs that I've ever seen on a laptop, so you can flip the screen completely all the way around. This is like their third or fourth iteration of the hinge design. This design is amazing.
They have been working on that for years.
Yes, so that's a great little laptop. Of course, I just got a new iPhone X, which I love just so much faster than my 6S that I had. Another thing that I picked up, which was our friend Colin suggested to me, was these they're called Bohm B66s, and they're over-the-ear noise-canceling Bluetooth headphones, and for the price, which is like $80, they sound amazing, and it's so much better than paying like $300 for the Bose, around $300 for Beats or anything like that. Like, these are awesome, and they look really cool. And they have an all aluminum design, which is sick.
That's like, for that money, you can get no more hipster than these.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I really like these, so I'll be chatting with those, and I just have some other stuff on there which you guys can go ahead and check out, but I figured I would do that because we get that, you know, we get asked that all of the time, and it kind of coincides with our trip to Las Vegas. So yeah, are you surprised by anything on my list there?
Just I didn't know you had some of this stuff.
What didn't you know I had?
I didn't know you had wireless earbuds.
Yes, just got this.
Reviewing them?
Yes.
Okay. And then the backpack. Are you reviewing that as well?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Bob doesn't really buy things, so I was a little bit surprised.
Hey man, I bought the
What'd you buy?
The Bluetooth headset. I bought that. A lot of stuff in this I actually bought. I mean, I bought my iPhone.
Oh right. Yeah. You buy the tile?
No. Tile sent me that. Yeah. Yeah, the only things I really bought in this list are the Bluetooth headphones, the LowPro organizer.
Ooh. Yeah.
The cable organizer I bought. My iPhone I bought, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. But definitely check this out. A lot of cool stuff in there if you need some ideas of maybe some stuff you might want to pick up for your travels. So, and it was a lot of fun doing the video as well, so cool. Definitely check it out. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and this week we have a pretty interesting build that was built for the Red Bull Trinity Tournament, and it was given away to the winner, which is pretty awesome. Not only do you win whatever else they were giving away, this was also one of the prizes. So
got to take his own mod home?
Yes. So
guess that means we're not gonna see it at CES then.
No, I don't believe so.
Disappointing, because it's a pretty nice mod.
Yeah, so this was done in the Cooler Master Cosmos 700P, which actually we were shown at CES last year, which was pretty interesting.
Yes.
And that was I don't think that was under NDA last year. They said we couldn't take pictures of it, but I don't know if we did or not. I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Yeah. But this is just a pretty, it's not a big of a mod, it's more of a build, but it still has some...
They skinned a lot of stuff. The skins look really good.
Yes.
Like the decals, the designs on them look great. They really add to it quite a bit. The UV lighting looks great. It's that purple glow always looks awesome, and then set stuff off.
Yeah, and then if you look on the picture of the side there, you can see it kind of separated the internals, so like you can see through one of the part, but then there's a window that shows the res. Is kind of cool as well.
It's kind of a it's not really separated as much as it's a panel with a window, right? Am I seeing that right?
The
photos of the internals of this are actually pretty terrible, so
yes, I would agree.
As far
It separates, well, like I said, it separates it, but it's more of like a panel with a window built in.
Yeah. It looks good. It looks really good. And then, of course, it's a reverse ATX motherboard tray. Is that how this case comes? Is it inverted? At any rate, the IO is at the top of the case.
I don't believe that's how this case is.
Okay.
Normally.
It looks cool.
Yeah, so the way they have it set up is really cool, and then the GPU is set, I don't even know what you would call that.
It's on a riser, and it's kind of like horizontal with the back panel.
Yeah.
The back panel of the case.
That's interesting as well.
Or not the back panel.
The top.
The rear panel.
Yeah, Yeah. So that's pretty cool little build there. Great,
It's good style. Mostly, it's just really good style.
Yeah, I really like that. And great hard tubing as well. Those bends look awesome.
In with Cooler Master hardware, like CPU block, etc. I didn't know that Cooler Master had released stuff.
I don't think they officially have.
Okay, so we'll probably be seeing it. They showed it to you at CES last year, didn't they?
Yeah, but I don't think any of that was actually released. I don't think
it actually came out. So maybe we'll see a release of that this year.
Yeah, so hopefully this is maybe to coincide with that.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely a cool build. I like it. I love that case, too. I've always been a fan of the Cosmos cases, so.
I think this is actually one of the better Cosmos cases. Not nearly as big as they used to be, though.
Yeah, well, they do the 25th anniversary, which is the huge one.
Yeah.
And this one's a little bit smaller, and then they added the RGB lighting on top and bottom, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's
a good size. It's just, the Cosmos, remember the Cosmos S used to just be a huge case?
Yeah, I still have that. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I have every Cosmos I've ever had. I think I have all of them.
Just couldn't let them go.
They're just so big. Like, they're you nice, just never, yeah. Like, oh, I'm going to use that. No,
I'm going to put, like, not. 20 hard drives in this and, like, 6 CD burners.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, they're just so big. But, no, I still have them all. They're all downstairs in storage.
Nice.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely check that out. And as I always say, we have a full section of builds on Case Mod Friday. We cover one every Friday. So, definitely a lot of cool stuff in there. And that brings us to news. And this is, like... I know not a lot of people are making a big deal about it, but it's probably one of the biggest news stories in a long time when it comes to computer hardware, I would say.
It's pretty big. It's pretty big. I think that the scope of the impact of this is causing people to not want to think that it's affecting them, right? But, like, this affects just about everybody who has a PC.
Yeah, most people. So a huge design flaw and security vulnerability was found within Intel CPUs. And this is an x86 related issue. So basically any x86 processor that's been released. So basically anything Intel's released for the past 10 years.
Not just Intel though. ARM is involved. There's a lot of other.
Yeah, things. I mean a lot of.
Actually AMD to some extent.
Yeah.
Not really though.
Not as much, no.
No.
So these have now been, we'll talk about it, but they have been, they're now known, the two big ones are known as Meltdown and Spectre. These are, like I said, one of the biggest security and vulnerabilities.
It's, it's a zero-day flaw, essentially, in the processor.
Yeah.
In the architecture, really?
Yeah.
Would that be more accurate?
I don't know, because it's still effective on different architectures.
It's not architecture, so it's...
Yeah.
Is it hardware design then?
I think it's hardware design. I know that these are being fixed via if you're running Windows.
Firmware, yeah.
Yeah, and some possibly will need a microcode update, which would be like a BIOS update.
Yeah.
It's just like there's so many. This affects everything.
Yeah.
Like,
To really boil it down, though, is it has the effect of a 0 day, which is usually referred. Usually, that's a Windows problem.
Correct.
Uses a Windows term, but it's essentially a 0 day in the processors, in that it gives like root access to memory.
Yeah. So you know,
read only though, right? Is that correct?
I believe
Intel,
so.
Yeah. Intel believes that it's not possible to actually alter anything, but it can access memory and remove whatever it wants.
Yeah, so it can access the kernel memory, which is like where you have your stored passwords and logons and like very important information. It you know, for us, it's not as important, but we were talking before the podcast, like this is, if you think about who uses Intel processors and their logins, you know.
Just about everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most of those Dells that are sitting around at the FBI office are probably, you know.
Yeah, those Dells sitting at missile control.
Yeah, you know, so it's just a big issue. And, you know, secondly, on top of this massive security vulnerability, once these are patched or fixed, which you can get fixes, I just had to run a Windows update, so I'm sure that was the fix.
Yeah.
Once you do that, it's been reported that performance drops between 5 and 30% depending on different benchmarks and things like that. And for, you know, us normal consumers, that makes a big deal too, because, you know, when we test these processors against AMD processors, which for the most part aren't affected by this, that result's going to look a lot different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
it kind of changes everything.
Yeah,
essentially we should be going back and re-benchmarking everything for the past 10 years.
Yeah, re-benchmarking everything and seeing, you know, that. And on top of that, you know, when it comes to enterprise and things like that, a system you know, losing 5 to 10 to like up to 30%,
5%, even yeah, as little as 5%.
That's a
productivity
big number.
You put several dollar signs next to that when it comes to servers and database.
Yeah. So well, I think
for that matter, go supercomputer.
Yeah. So since this has been obviously an ongoing story, a bunch of companies have released statements, including Intel. Intel has, AMD has, ARM has, Google, and Microsoft about their plans and what they're going to be doing to, obviously,
yeah, rectify. Fix,
yeah, rectify these issues.
The good news in this was actually discovered by Google.
Yes.
So it's not like there wasn't like a giant onslaught of attacks where this was like that's how they figured it out. So it shouldn't be something where a lot of people were was lost from it, but that's totally possible.
Now there is. I saw on Twitter that there is some JavaScript out there that's being injected into websites now that will try to exploit this.
Oh, okay. But that would be post-discovery.
Yes, yes. Yeah, definitely post-discovery. So this was discovered by Google's Project Zero team, which this is what their job is, basically.
Yeah, man, one of those Google jobs would be sweet, where you just, like, research stuff.
But you should, like I said, I just had a Windows update. You should just run Windows update. That should be there. For all anybody running Windows, same thing if you're on Linux, there should be an update. You should be fine.
Perhaps consider updating to the newest BIOS. Well, give it a little while till a newer one.
Yeah, BIOS updates will be later if they're even needed. I know on some the microcode update is not needed.
Right.
But
considering how the depth of this.
Yes.
As far as the number of processors affected.
Yeah, there's a ton.
If you're running something older, you probably want to pay more attention.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so definitely keep that in mind. Now, the interesting thing about this story is that Intel knew about this before they released Coffee Lake. So Coffee Lake was announced September 25th and was officially available on shelves October 5th. And Google found this exploit and made the findings available to Intel as well as other hardware companies under NDA. So it cannot be released. And Intel knew about it before they released these processors and still released them anyways.
So your precious 8700K, they knew it was broken.
Yes. And they said most people are saying that Intel engineers would have had more than enough time to understand the vulnerability and make some type of fix to it, but they didn't. So that is where we're going to see, and I know we're going to see it, is there's going to be a class action lawsuit against Intel over this. I guarantee there is. And they're going to win because Intel has to say that they knew about it because they did.
Yeah.
So yeah. We'll get $10.
Hey man, you know? I've gotten decent money from some class actions before.
Really?
Sign up. Oh yeah, yeah.
That NVIDIA one, I got like $10.
Well, yeah, most of them are small.
Yeah.
I think I got $30 for the 970 one.
That's I got $10 for that. Yeah, I
think that was $30.
Oh really?
Yeah, you got gypped.
I did.
Yeah.
But that's
a couple of interesting financial things from this situation. Intel saw a pretty significant drop in stock price.
Well,
not significant, just, you know, not like enormous, not Bitcoin drop, but
yeah,
you know, like several dollars, which is interesting.
I mean, this is a huge deal. Like, this is It's not just like this affects like Coffee Lake processor. This is every x86 processor,
which is everything Intel has made for a very long time.
Yeah, so like that's a big deal, and that now that it's all vulnerable, and now that these, I mean, there's a website for the vulnerabilities, and the white papers are there. So that means that people again are creating JavaScripts and things to access this. And you know, if you just have PCs running that you haven't done anything, any updates to, they're vulnerable. And that's a lot. Like, that is a lot. That's like, I mean,
I mean, things happen. Things like this do happen, though, right?
Yes.
Usually it's more on the scale. It's usually like a virus, right? Or something new, some new malware or something, and it happens, and it gets fixed. But this is just, it sounds much scarier because it's hardware. It's like it's like a built-in flaw, sort of. So
did you see
the other article where Intel CEO dumped his stock before this was released?
That's gonna be an interesting thing too. I did just see that article.
Some insider trading stuff there.
It's been Intel's their public image, Intel. Their public image isn't looking so great. So
Probably see some really friendly Intel faces at CES, like really friendly.
Yes, yes. So, talking about some more shady deals, looks like, and we talked about this. We told you when to buy SSDs. We told you when to buy memory. We knew that this was going to happen. Is that for the longest time, there's been a shortage of NAND. That is, of course, the memory chips that go on DDR4, the memory chips that are in SSDs. And for most people, this is, I mean, the big thing where the reason there is a shortage is because these are the memory chips that go in all of your smartphones.
Yep.
And four main companies, Samsung, SK Hynix, I forget how you say it.
Hynix.
Micron and Toshiba, it seems as if they have all worked together to not have enough product available so that they could price fix DRAM, or not DRAM, or NAND, rather.
Yes, yes.
And it finally looks like, and China is not really known for having like a,
highly regulated market.
It looks like the National Development and Reform Commission Pricing Supervision Department of China is finally going to look into this, because it's a huge deal, not only for us in the PC realm, but I mean all smartphone and, you know,
everything.
I mean, even if you look at DDR4 prices right now, they're very high, and SSDs aren't as bad, but they're still not.
They have not gone down. If you compare prices this year to prices last year, they're nearly identical, which you should have seen a price drop, and you should have seen a capacity increase with a price drop.
Yeah. Which we haven't seen. So, it's been reported that Samsung has already been approached, as well as SK Hynix. But they both declined to comment.
Oh, that's weird.
But like I said, this is something that we told you that we knew there was going to be a shortage, and now it looks like these companies,
it might have been manufactured.
A
manufactured shortage.
Not a manufactured shortage, so as much as that they're not making plans to increase production as they should. Exactly. Yes.
They created the shortage themselves.
Yes. It's a shady, shady deals. Which, honestly,
I don't know if I expect too much of a fix from China's government necessarily, because they've been very lax in things like copyright and infringement and such. But perhaps there might be enough money in it for them that they actually crack down on this.
Yeah, we'll have to see. So let's move on to motherboards.
Some good news? How about some good news?
Yeah, this is actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
ASRock has just announced the first micro ATX motherboard for Threadripper.
Nice.
It is their X399M Tai Chi. I love the Tai Chi boards from ASRock. They're just amazing.
Good looking board.
It's a good looking board. You can do two graphics cards, full X16 speeds on there.
Of course, you've got two processors melded together.
Yes.
You've got plenty of lanes.
Yeah, and this has everything. USB 3.1, U.2, 802.11ac, Wi-Fi plus Bluetooth. Yeah, anything you want, this board has it.
Yeah.
This is a loaded out board. I can see like the ultimate gaming machine, micro ATX style.
Yeah.
In this, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even beyond gaming a little bit, Threadripper is.
Oh yeah.
That's a number cruncher.
Oh yeah.
This is your ultimate like chic photo rig board, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so much you could do with this just for the fact that it is, you know. You know, like just for the fact that it is a high-end desktop board, you know, that you're getting yeah. Everything. I mean, this is like
you get this board, you get a pair of Titan V's.
There you go.
You crush some numbers.
Yeah, on both the processor and the GPUs.
I mean, you know. You do some serious machine learning stuff with that.
Yeah, no word yet on pricing. It's expected to be shown at CES, so we will show it to you. We'll likely
less than $200.
You think?
I think. Actually, that would be a joke, but it's ASRock and it's Ryzen.
We'll see. We shall see.
And it's micro, honestly.
That's still mini ITX. They couldn't do. There's no possible way they could do a mini ITX Threadripper. Like I just
no. It's
there's
it's
not
be,
enough room.
It'd be the entire board.
Yeah.
The socket would take up the whole board.
I mean, the socket takes up most of the top of this board, but
yeah. But that's what I mean, like, micro boards, there's a price limit on it.
True.
So, yeah, true. I would like to see this less than $200. I think that's realistic.
Yeah. So and we'll see.
I'm, of course, ready to be completely wrong.
Yes. We will we'll see it at CES, and we'll definitely probably do a video on it, so definitely stay tuned.
Check
for
that.
Asus has a interesting firmware upgrade for their... new and existing routers, which basically turns them into a mesh network. This
smart.
Is cool. Yeah. Very cool, very smart. The only thing is that I don't know how many people have multiple Asus routers in their home.
I don't remember ever buying the same brand router two times in a row.
Or just like still having the old one.
I have old routers.
I have an old Linksys. I do have an old Linksys.
Yeah, because I've just stuck them in a closet, you know, essentially.
Yeah.
And then, like, well, maybe if something burns out, I'll still use this.
Yeah.
My biggest thing with this is, biggest downside that I can see to this is that your old router actually seriously hinders because it doesn't have the capability. It doesn't have modern tech in it, you know?
Yeah.
So even in a mesh network, you know, if you don't have certain bands or whatever, you could still be slowed down.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think that this is something that we'll probably see other people roll out just because it's a smart thing to, why not?
Yeah, sure, why not?
And if you have multiple devices, why not have them work together in that fashion?
It is something though that's probably not terribly cheap to develop because you can screw mesh networking up pretty easily.
Oh yeah,
the handoff can be screwed up pretty badly.
Yeah. There's a list of compatible routers.
It's a free feature, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, free feature.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. If you have some. Update your firmware and you're good to go. Now, Samsung has just unveiled their first Thunderbolt 3 curved monitor. And the reason I like this is because it's one little cable for power and data.
Yeah.
It's just, I hate cables. I hate them. So it's a 34-inch curved ultra-wide. It's the CJ791. It's QLED. It has the same design as the CF791, pretty much almost the same display. That this one does not have quantum dot,
right?
Which you'd be missing out on. But again, this one is mainly for laptop users, I would say, because it uses the Thunderbolt connection.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have a laptop that does have Thunderbolt, you can connect this and have a full amazing display.
34-inch ultra wide.
Yes. Yeah.
It's got a 1500R curve, which is really nice for 34.
Yeah.
It's 25% sRGB, and it's probably going to look sweet when we see it at CES.
Yeah. Yes. This is another thing we will see at CES, and it is. I just you know, it's Samsung, the CF791 has done a really good job with cabling. I like the way they designed the cabling. But just one, and like, lightning cables, or not lightning cable, I'm sorry, Thunderbolt cables are tiny.
Yeah,
they are. So, yeah.
I kind of question, maybe I shouldn't, but I do, because it is QLED, but I like it, because of the power bricks that we've seen in the past with Bunders, it's like, there's no way you're going to get enough power through that connection. But this is new technology.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it works.
Yeah, we'll see.
it must. They wouldn't release it, right? Like, that'd be a pretty obvious flaw when it doesn't turn on.
Yeah.
Hopefully the brightness is still good with it.
Yeah, that could be an issue with the power.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see it at CES, and we'll definitely let you know. But I'm pretty excited about it. I think that if I was a more of a notebook user and I came home, I'd want to be sitting in front of this rather than my laptop. Oh, so
absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest difference between this and previous year's models is just the Thunderbolt, right?
From what I know, yes.
Yeah, because they've done the QLED and everything else in the past.
Yeah. It's just the Thunderbolt connection, which I also believe that means these can be daisy chain.
They can, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
What laptop is going to be able to run several 34-inch monitors, though? That I don't know. That's a pretty big resolution.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, so there's a couple. I mean, there's the
Maybe
the
some
Dell,
of these new, yeah.
The new Dells top-ups. Have have Thunderbolt 3, the XPSs, they do. So definitely I'm excited to see this at CES. I always like going. As much as crazy as Samsung booth is, I do like seeing the new tech that they have, so.
Oh, yeah.
Also talking about CES, which, because we will be meeting with this company, but Madcatz is making a return.
Interesting.
And not
altogether unsurprising.
Yeah, so, I mean, we know Madcatz. I know Madcatz specifically for their gaming mice. Like, one of my, I forget which one it was, but one of their rat mice was one of my favorites that I ever used.
Rat 9.
It was the MMO version. Whatever that one was.
No, that was not a Rat 9. Rat 9 was really well received, though.
Yeah. I mean, most of them, up until the last year, were really good.
Other than failure rate, but
that was another
issue altogether.
That was a big thing with Madcatz products, was like failure rate on a lot of their products was pretty bad. And whatever their management was doing, they went bankrupt, basically. And it looks like they'll be back, and they'll at least have four new products. New mouse, which will be the I can't find it.
It's a rat, right?
Yeah, it's called the Rat Air. And then you'll have the
mouse pad.
Yeah, mouse pad. I can't
glide. Is it the glide? Yep. Glide gaming surface, which is, looks like it looks similar to the Corsair lighted mouse pad that you just reviewed.
Yeah, so it looks like it's gonna have RGB lighting on it as well. New headset. This is the freak you're bringing back the Freak brand. This one looks actually a lot better than the older ones. I think
it actually looks pretty legit,
and it's a loom. It looks like that will be a metal frame
on
it
over the top. Yeah.
And then they'll have their Strike 4 gaming keyboard, which looks like a full keyboard. It looks to be RGB backlit. I was never, Madcatz never really did it for me when it came to the keyboards.
A lot of plastic.
Yeah, so we'll see that. But I'm excited. I'm definitely excited for the mouse. Definitely excited for the headset as well.
The style and everything, at the very least, looks great. So
yeah, they were always really good at that too.
Yep.
We'll see what's up. So hopefully, we have seen companies come back from pretty much dying. You know, coming back. So hopefully we see that, and we have
that's
a meeting
of bankruptcy.
Yeah, we have a meeting with them at CES, so we'll see how that goes.
We will bring live photos to you.
Yes, and probably video.
Yeah.
And beginning of this year, Steam revealed their top selling games of 2017. So if you're ever wondering what games sold the most, and the Steam measured this by gross revenue. They have it in platinum, gold, silver, and bronze. So let's take a look at some of these.
Are these ranked in order, or are they just grouped?
They're just grouped.
Okay.
So
what was the highest selling game then?
We don't
know. I want to say it's PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
I'm thinking it's PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, but we don't know. Because every time you load the page, it's actually, if you go to the page now, like their dedicated page, and you refresh, it
changes every time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we technically don't know. I would think it's PUBG. It just kind of has to make sense.
Just the player base. I mean, they had to sell all those games. Rocket League could be pretty close, though.
Yeah, Rocket League's on there. But one thing that's interesting is that two free-to-play games have made it on the platinum list.
Oh, they did.
Which is Warframe, which I've played, which is really good. And Dota 2. So this shows you that free-to-play with monetization built into the game somehow, whether buying skins or buying whatever, works obviously pretty well to be in this platinum list.
Yeah.
Because the platinum, there's, Counter-Strike.
You got to move some SKUs.
Yeah, there's Grand Theft Auto 5 is still in there, Counter-Strike Go, you said Rocket League, the two free games, Warframe and Dota 2, H1Z1, Witcher 3 is in there.
Ghost Recon is surprising.
Yeah. But we'll move down to gold. So some of the things that are interesting about gold is that we see Assassin's Creed Origins and Call of Duty World War II in there.
I'm a bit surprised that Call of Duty made it in there.
Both of which, Assassin's Creed was released end of October and Call of Duty beginning of November. And they've already made the gold list. That's pretty impressive, I think.
Yeah.
And then we'll move down to silver and see some cool things in silver. City Skylines, still one of my favorite games. Love that game.
It's a good game. It is.
Rust is in there as well.
Euro Truck Simulator.
Yeah, it's in there. That's a Mark Vaughn game.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll move down to bronze.
Cuphead's in there too. Don't forget Cuphead.
That's in silver. So in bronze, we have some things. Let's see what we got here. Watch Dogs 2. Payday 2 is still in there.
Dang.
Borderlands 2 is also in there. Call of Duty Black Ops is
this
in there.
This is a really big one.
This group this is the last one, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still cool to see some games that have been out for a while in the list. Left 4 Dead 2 is also in the bronze list. So
no kidding.
Pretty cool. Terraria is still in there too. Oz and I used to play that for a while. So
yeah, some old games.
Yeah, so pretty cool stuff. Definitely cool. And obviously, because this is a Steam page, you can just click through and buy any of these games if you want. So if you're looking for, I think sales kind of coincide with if it's a good game or not a lot of times. So if you're looking for maybe a new game to play, you might want to check out this list.
Some pretty deep discounts. You can get some pretty cheap games.
Yes. So definitely check that out. And that brings us to the end here. What we have coming up next week, there is a new Corsair product that's launching to coincide with CES. And can't really tell you what it is, but we'll have the review.
Should be good.
Yes. So we'll have that. I think that's Monday.
The 8th.
Yeah, the 8th. So that'll be up on the 8th. And then next week is CES.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty... pretty excited for CES. It's just one of our favorites, at least one of my favorite times of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
And
I'm really excited for this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
maybe,
why?
I don't know. I feel like there's been more of a build-up to it, or I'm just more interested this year. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's not products. Like, there's going to be some cool stuff, but, like, if you were to ask me, hey, what do you expect to see? I'm not really too sure. Some new cases, some more RGB. There is no, like, what's the new RGB, right? What's the RGB of 2018?
Yeah, like, what's the new thing? And maybe this year we'll see what that new thing is. Like, nobody has talked about it or it hasn't been released yet, so maybe we'll see it here. I don't think there's one specific product. I know we'll probably get information on, like, Ryzen 2, hopefully see some Volta based GeForce products.
Please give me some 11 series.
Yes, hopefully we'll see some of that.
I'd like an 1180. I'd like to go home with an 1180. Actually, that would be an ideal situation.
Yeah. What else? I mean,
I expect to see some. I would like to see some new VR headsets.
I don't think we will. At least not from the big players, right? We'll see, like...
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think that Vive would be good to come out with a new one early, but I don't think that they're ready.
Yeah. I don't think CES is a show to release it at either.
No, I think it is.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
I would think,
other,
like,
what other show are you gonna release VR at?
Like GDC?
No, it's too, it's broader reaching than just gaming.
True, very true.
And that's really, that's about,
you know what,
software,
I we probably won't see it because we'll be so busy in covering what we cover, but I think AR is gonna be a really big deal this year.
It could be, yeah.
And I think we saw some of it last year, and I thought it was super cool. Just like even like the Cooler Master AR app, which I thought was super cool.
There's a ton of potential for those devices.
Which just basically allowed you, if you had an iPad or something, or something with a phone, like even I think you could do it with your phone, you could like see if a case would fit on your desk or how it would look on your desk. It was just really cool.
Yeah, like virtually mock it up.
Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. So I think, you know, seeing some really cool AR stuff would be pretty awesome.
Maybe perhaps on a broader scale. Well, we're going to obviously see a bunch of TVs. We've already seen a couple of things from LG, 88-inch 8K. We will definitely see a lot of consumer versions of 8K TVs, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see beyond that, AI stuff, some machine learning stuff is probably going to be in there, I would think, at this point. Probably mixed into your Internet of Things devices. So,
and I, you know what, I
some
like,
integration of that.
I recently got into smart home, so I do like seeing all the new smart home stuff for me. I think that's pretty cool.
I think that we'll see a much more mature product grouping of smart home stuff.
Yes,
because we're really seeing, like you said, there's hubs for it now, so it's usable.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited, man. I think it's gonna be a good year. I think our coverage is gonna be good. Hopefully,
of course.
As long as we have good internet connection to upload videos,
always good.
You know, so we will be there. If you guys have anything you want us to check out, hit us up on Facebook or Twitter, and let us know. But it should be a good week. So I'm excited, and we're
awesome.
You know, Derek, I, and Jack, we're all going to San Diego after, so that should be fun too.
Yeah, because as well as the as all the tech, we definitely get to hang out with our tech friends.
And I think we'll probably do the podcast from San Diego, the next one. Well, we might. I'm not sure how, depending
we
on the week.
This last year, in fact.
Yeah, we did a couple last year, but if we don't, we're probably going to do maybe one or two podcasts throughout the week just to kind of give you guys an update. But we'll probably do that next podcast, maybe like that, you know, that Saturday or Sunday.
We'll be doing a wrap up from San Diego.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Yeah,
pretty excited. But we'll end things here. Real quick, did you do anything techie this week or see anything?
I watched Dunkirk. Don't watch Dunkirk.
I agree with Oz on how it's shot is weird.
It's not how it's shot. It's how it's edited.
It's
the time frame. They're trying to they're almost Tarantino-ing it.
Yeah.
But it's horrible. The effect is not good. It's really hard. It's not hard to keep track of. It's just once you figure out wait, why am I seeing this again?
Yeah. And yeah.
It could have been a good movie and it was edited poorly. So
yeah, I didn't. I watched that a little bit ago. I did watch. I know it's not Peaky Blinders season 4. I watched that whole season.
Not aware of that.
That's an amazing. I don't think it's a Netflix show. I don't know. It might be. I don't know. I watched it on Netflix, but I don't know if it's actually that's who produces it. But I've watched that for a while, and season 4 was amazing. So if you guys want to check that out, it's definitely something to check out. But I really don't think I've done anything that techie. I'm just getting ready to go, and I did that the whole article unpacking and all the stuff I'm packing up and all that. So
nice.
So yeah. So guys, we will end things here. As always, full show notes page, so you know, as we're going through these articles and all the news, you can follow along with us. And if you're looking for us or looking to subscribe, it's just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting apps and websites. So until next week, catch you guys later.